Our first reading is Romans chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, and then from verse 29 to verse 32. It's on page 1138 of the Church Bibles. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. And then from verse 29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Jesus did not answer a word. So the disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs. Yes, Lord, she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Declare our faith in the words of the Creed on page 253. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge our baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder how many of you watched any of the programs during the last 2 weeks about Indian independence and partition. If you did, you will have seen pictures of whole trainloads of people being slaughtered, over 1 million people killed and 15 million uprooted from their homes and their land to move to another country. You probably wondered, as I did, how differences of race and religion could be so powerful as to tear a whole country apart and turn people against their neighbours. And if we'd followed the main story from America this last week, we've probably wondered how racism can be so deeply rooted and so divisive. These two major stories about racism are a perfect introduction to the story that we have in today's gospel, the story of the Syrophoenician woman, as she's called. She came from the region of Tyre and Sidon, two cities to the north of Palestine in the modern Lebanon. It so happens that I visited both these cities many times during the time we were living in Lebanon. So she's a Gentile woman. And as far as the Jews were concerned, she was a pagan. And what is exposed in this story is the racist attitudes that most Jews at the time held towards non-Jews. This Canaanite woman comes to Jesus in her desperation because her daughter is terribly sick, suffering from demon possession. "Lord, Son of David," she says, "have mercy on me." She must have already known something about Jesus and who he was because she calls him Son of David. And she must have heard about his miracles of healing, his ability to heal. At first, Jesus strangely doesn't answer. He seems, in fact, to ignore her. And the disciples then try to persuade him to send her away because she's obviously bothering them. Jesus answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." In other words, my mission is only to the Jewish people, not to the Gentiles. But the woman is very persistent and comes and kneels before Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." Jesus' reply sounds very strange, in fact, very shocking. "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." An answer like that would flatten most people. It sounds a horrible put down. Jesus seems to be describing non-Jews as dogs. But she is obviously very feisty and quick-witted, and so she comes back to Jesus. "Yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." So, how do we make sense of Jesus' words? One interpretation is that Jesus speaks as a first century Jew and that he actually shares and believes in all the prejudices that Jews held towards Gentiles. And this foreign Gentile woman challenges Jesus over his very Jewish attitudes and forces him to admit them and to abandon them. The other interpretation, which I find far more convincing, is that Jesus deliberately articulates what most Jews at the time thought about non-Jews. And he expresses them in this very strong language. It's a kind of tongue-in-cheek answer. Jesus does so to expose these racist prejudices in the minds of his Jewish disciples and to show how awful they are. So this becomes a powerful learning experience for the disciples. And later, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, when the disciples bring the message of Jesus throughout the region, not only to Jews, but also to Gentiles, they are able to overcome their prejudices towards people of different races, languages, and cultures, because they are now welcomed within the body of Christ, the church. So for the disciples, for us as disciples of Jesus, there is absolutely no place for attitudes of pride, arrogance, or superiority. I and people of my race, who have the same color of skin as me, we are better than you or them. Here is the definition of racism in the Oxford Dictionary. A belief in the superiority of a particular race, prejudice based on this belief in superiority, antagonism towards or discrimination against other races. So as we reflect on this difficult story, we should be encouraged by the persistence, the perseverance, and the faith of this foreign woman. Jesus said, "You have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed. So let's examine ourselves also and be prepared to face up to any racist feelings in our own minds towards people of different color or race or religion. And perhaps we need to pray for community leaders, for church leaders, for political leaders in this country and other countries who are trying to work out practical policies to combat racism. Christians have especially powerful reasons to challenge racism because we believe that every human being is created equal in the image and likeness of God, and we have the example of Jesus to follow. It's harder to fight against racism if you don't have this kind of worldview. And perhaps in our society today, we need to be as sharp and quick-witted as this Canaanite woman and find ways to fight against racism in all its forms and wherever it's found.
Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven.